being fit. People that are in shape are looked at and saying, wow, they look like they're the epitome of health and epitome of strength and whatever. It's an important concept for each of us. Think about it, especially as a Thanksgiving feast lies just down the road. And we'll be indulging in many good things that the Lord has blessed us with, and to be able to share those meals with one another. Yet despite the data and the research that's gone into it, and all the benefits that are there, we continue to ignore most of it as far as being healthy and being in shape talks about. The result, we as a country are the most overweight, not a shape country going. And I've found, maybe you have too, the older you get, the harder it is to take off the pounds. Man, it used to be in days gone by, a doctor's appointment coming, I have a month or so, I could drop a couple pounds. Now, I put on a couple pounds. Instead, if this works the opposite, it's harder to take off. It's easier, sometimes more fun to put it on. And especially when you have good food like we had yesterday at our 50th wedding anniversary celebration, and that was very good food. But we realize that even more important than physical exercise, and it is important, is the all-important spiritual exercise that we need to be incorporating into our lives. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul mentions this. He says, for training of the body has a limited benefit. Now, he's not saying it's no good. It's very good, physical activity, training of our body. But godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And that's the key, the life to come. We need to make sure we're not just preparing for this life. This life is short. Whether you live 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, compared to eternity, that's a drop in the bucket. But when you're preparing godly and godliness in your life and doing what Paul says makes all the difference in the world. Paul tells us that physical exercise is good, but godliness is even more profitable. So we can't ignore, we can't afford to ignore, or can we afford to be ignorant of these spiritual things in our lives and for our lives? They're important for us to understand. They're important for us to incorporate. The exercise of thanksgiving, this is the all and more appropriate as we think about it in this season of Thanksgiving. And I see those turkeys on the displays, and I'm wondering, are those the pardoned ones? The ones that they got the pardons for and are going to be okay? But so many of us will be having those Thanksgiving meals. But expressing thanksgiving, living in thanksgiving, is the key, not just in the Thanksgiving season, but every time and every day. Now, it will affect you, Thanksgiving, or the lack of it. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect the relationship between husband and wife. It's going to affect the relationship between parents and kids. It's going to affect the relationship that you have in other areas, the thanksgiving or the lack of it. We need to be expressing thanksgiving. We need to be sharing thanksgiving. Don't take your family members for granted. Don't take your spouse for granted and just assume that that's what they're supposed to do and that's how they're supposed to operate. You know, you're not a slave, they're not a slave. We are in this together. In marriage, it's a oneness. And we need to be giving thanks. You have to be one in spirit. And there's a oneness. We need to be thanking God and thanking them for who they are, thanking them for what they do, and thanking our kids, you know, for when they help, when they're a part of us. They're a part of our family. And being grateful for those that are in our families, being grateful for those that are our friends, and thanking them for being a part of us, expressing thanksgiving, not just assuming they know. Too often we just assume they know that we're grateful. No, tell them that you're grateful. Tell them that you are thankful for them and for who they are and for what they do. And not just for what they do, but because they're there. And they're there for you to be a part of in your life with them. Thanksgiving is an exercise that will improve your godliness. And it'll benefit you in so many ways spiritually as well. Being thankful makes a loud statement to others. But more important, it makes a loud statement to God. when we're thankful. It makes a loud statement to him. He hears that. You think of all the noise that this world makes. And out of that noise, God can hear that thankfulness and picks out that thankfulness. And he hears that thankfulness that we offer and that we share. By being thankful, we're saying that we are dependent and trusting God in the situation that we're in. You may not like the situation you're in right now. You may not be happy with it. But in it, you can be thankful. In it, you can be expressing that thanks to the Lord for who he is. Thanking him that he knows what's going on. Thanking him that he takes those things and can turn those things that we look at as bad, as negative, as down, and he can turn those things around for his good and for his glory if we let him. You see, it is showing confidence when we're thankful. It's showing confidence in our Heavenly Father to be able to take care of every circumstance and situation that you find yourself in. And it's just being able to rest in that. As much turmoil is going on, you can rest in that thankfulness that he knows. Thanksgiving is a great time to share. It's a great time to be with family. It's a great time to practice being thankful and living a thankful life. I'm reminded of an illustration that it's kind of funny but sad. There was an elderly man in Phoenix, and he calls his son in New York, and he says, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son screams. "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the old man says. "We're sick of each other. I'm sick of talking about this. So you call your sister in Chicago and tell her," and he hangs up. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. "Like, what? They're getting divorced," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." She calls Phoenix immediately and screams at the old man, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" The old man hangs up the phone, turns to his wife, and says, "Okay, they're coming for Thanksgiving. And they're paying their own way." Well, hopefully it hasn't come to that in your family. But it worked for them. And even paid their own way home. So this Thanksgiving, this exercise for spiritual fitness, is one that is so easy to do, yet so often missing in our lives. I hope this morning I can get across to each of us the power of Thanksgiving in our lives and why it's important for us to develop and to use and to help us this way into godliness by being thankful. It's a simple thing. It doesn't cost you anything except making sure that you do it. We're given in the New Testament a very simple instruction for us to follow. Sometimes people say, "Well, the Bible's too hard to understand. I don't know what God's will is. How am I supposed to know all of this?" This verse sums it up. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Some of you can quote it. "Give thanks in everything." There's the command. Doesn't matter whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's easy, whether it's hard. Give thanks in everything. Why? "For this is God's will." You want to know God's will for your life? This is one of those things. Black and white. "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You want to know God's will? He wants you to be thankful in everything. Not just in the things you want to be. It's straightforward. It's a blanket statement as to what your attitude should be all the time. This clearly shows us God's will. He wants us to be thankful people. Do we do it all the time? It's another story, isn't it? It's another story on whether we're thankful like we should be. But this is the mark that's set. This is the target. And Paul says, aim for it, shoot for it, and seek to do this as a Christian. In every circumstance we find ourselves in, we are to give thanks. Why? Because God is in it to help you. Again, we don't have to understand every situation. Most of the times we don't. How did I get here? How did I get in this mess? How did this stuff happen in my life? Well, we're not always sure. One thing we're sure of, I need to start giving thanks in it. Because in it, I can see God start to work in me and through me. And then all of a sudden, we begin to see God work in situations and circumstances and the things around us and in the relationships around us and all of those things. God wills that this be done in our lives. And so this is an exercise. It's a discipline because it's not automatic. It's not an automatic response. Some people are a little more naturally thankful than others, but it's still not an automatic thing. We have to consciously be thankful. Consciously thank people and think about that. But so often we're absorbed in what? In us. What's happening to me? What's going on in my little world? What's going on with me? And we fail to see what's going on around us and say, well, you know, there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things that I should be grateful for. There's a lot of people I should be thanking. And so we need to train ourselves. We need to train our minds and our hearts to give thanks, to do it before the easy thing, to complain, to grumble, to get uptight, or whatever else it is, and other ways that we seek to react when we're not thankful. And I'm singing to the choir here, because it's easy to complain. And if you don't identify with that, I'm glad. But it's easy to complain. It's easy to grumble about stuff. It's easy to get uptight about it. When instead we need to say, you know what? I'm ready to complain, close the mouth, think a minute, and then start giving thanks. It's a discipline. You have to discipline yourself before you complain and before you grumble about something. Think about it and then give thanks first. And then your grumbling probably go away. Your complaining probably will go away because this is what pleases the Lord when we're thankful. Thanksgiving must be a priority in our lives. Isn't it easy for us to give thanks when everything's going well? Man, when everything's going good, man, I'm thankful, you're thankful, everybody's thankful. When our prayers are answered the way we wanted them to be answered, oh boy, we're thankful. But what happens when God says no to your prayer request? He says no. Are you thankful then? Are you grateful then? Or what if he gives that other answer that he gives? God gives three answers: yes, no, and wait. That's one we don't like either. But are you thankful when he's telling you to wait? You see, everyone's treating you well. It's easy to give thanks. All my situations are going just fine, falling into place. Oh, I'm a thankful Christian. But are we a fickle Christian? Are we a fair weather Christian? Or are we thankful even when things are not going our way? You see, again, it takes discipline to exercise, to train your lives, and to respond in thanks for the difficult and the hard and the routine things of life when reality often hits us right between the eyes, to be thankful. But it's here. It's here when the things are hard, when we're stuck in the muck, when it's hard to get moving. It's here that God is looking for his children to shine and to be thankful. And to be grateful because they realize, I'm stuck here, I'm in this, I don't like it, but I'm thanking God because he's in control. He's in charge, and I'm going to thank him. So why is giving thanks and showing gratitude so important? Why is that such a big issue? Why does the Bible talk about that so much, about being thankful and giving thanks? What's in there that we need to understand and learn? And I think there's a reason deeper than we might realize. When we really understand giving thanks, we will see that it is the dominant idea, the central theme, that most adequately reveals the nature of what biblical faith is. We don't usually tie thanksgiving and faith together, but it's the ultimate picture of what faith is when we're thankful, when we're able to give thanks in the difficult and in the hard and in the mundane and in the ruts of life. When we're able to give thanks, that demonstrates our faith because we're trusting God. We're believing him that he's going to work. So thanksgiving and faith go hand in hand, and it helps build a better and a bigger faith. Except for three places in the Bible thanks is always given to God, always given to Him. Thanksgiving occurs only within the context, though, of the covenant relationship that we know and now enjoy because of Christ. When Christ comes into your heart and life, there's a covenant relationship that's there, and only through that can we really fully understand the depths of thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is closely linked to our faith in God, and the more we're thankful, really thankful, not just with our mouths, but really with our hearts, the more we trust Him, the more we put our confidence in Him, the more we realize that if it wasn't for Him, I'd be in deep trouble. We all would be in deep trouble. We have to have that faith in Him. That's why thanksgiving is so important. If you notice, the most important things in the Christian's life, those things that are priority, are usually the easiest ones to ignore. I wonder why that is. Think the enemy has anything to do with that? He sure does. The most important things are the easiest to ignore. The devil knows the power of thanksgiving. He knows the power of it in your life. So, he does what he can to discourage you. The enemy will never encourage you. Only God will encourage you. Only the Holy Spirit will encourage you. Only other Christians will encourage you. The devil's never going to encourage you. He's always going to seek to discourage and destroy what's in you. And so he wants to destroy the power of thanksgiving in your life. So he does so by discouraging you in whatever way he can. And again, he knows what's going to discourage you because they watch your life. He does not omniscient. God's only omniscient. He watches your life, watches the things that go on. Say, oh, there, we can get them. We'll just trip them up with that. We'll throw that their way. We'll check out this thing and see what they think about that. And so he tries to discourage us. He tries to get us down. He tries to keep your eyes on your problem or your problems. What does God's word say? Set your minds on things above, not on things down here. The enemy says, it's bad. Look at this. This is not good. And you continually focus on that and that and that. What do you think you're going to think about? Thanksgiving? No. You're going to think about, oh, poor me. Look at the problems I've got. How am I going to get out of this? What's going to happen? How are we going to do it? God's giving you the answers. They're there. We don't want to take the time to go to His Word and see what the answers are. We want somebody to hand it to us on a platter. God is not always going to do that. He wants you to get in His Word. He wants you to see what He says. He wants you to mine that out and you to apply it to your life so that you can realize, I can be thankful. I need not be discouraged. If my eyes are always on my problems, you know the enemy's at work in your life to seek to get you to focus on that rather than on God, who's your solution, and His Word, which is your solution. That's where the answers come. So as a result, thanks is missing so often from our lives, and our faith remains small. It doesn't stay the same, but it continues to shrink. You see, the roots of thanksgiving go way back to the Old Testament. That's farther back than our history, where the pilgrims and our founders came and taught us to be thankful. It goes way back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament thanksgiving formed the special note of the psalmist. Thanksgiving was his theme. Thanksgiving played a key role in Israel's history. King David even appointed certain Levites to invoke thanksgiving, to thank and to praise the Lord specifically. That was their job. That's all they did. That's what they were supposed to do. And they were appointed by the king. If you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, there's several verses there. Verse 4 says, David appointed some of the Levites to be ministers before the ark of the Lord to celebrate the God, Lord God of Israel, and to give thanks and to praise Him. Specifically, that's all they did, was stand before the ark and thank God and praise Him for who He was. Down at verse 7, on that day David decreed for the first time that thanks be given to the Lord by Asaph and his relatives. Give thanks to Yahweh, call on His name, he says, proclaim His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell all about Him, His wonderful works, honor His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his wonders and the judgments he has pronounced. You offspring of Israel, his servants, Jacob's descendants, his chosen ones. We could go on and read there the prayer of praise and thanksgiving that was there. That's for us. Then verse 41, he says, he with them were Heman, a bunch of his friends, and the rest who were chosen and designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. That's part of who we are and what we should be. This practice was continued by Solomon. He did that. Hezekiah, one of the kings that was godly and followed God, he did that. The returned exiles, when they came back from captivity in Babylon, they did that. And they were thankful. Thanksgiving played a key part in the life and of the history of Israel. They set an example for us. Festival processions on the way to Zion fill the air with glad shouts, songs of thanksgiving. Think about it. How expressive are we in thanksgiving? Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks for this. Why aren't we festive in our thanksgiving? Why aren't we more festive and joyful in the giving of thanks to those that are around us and to what's happened? Here's one, the entrance into the temple. Just like our entrance into church should be filled with thanksgiving. Did you walk in these doors this morning with thanksgiving in your heart? Or do you have other thoughts on your mind? Well, I hope this happens, or I hope that doesn't happen. Hope they got coffee, or I hope this is ready, and hope this is right. Or did you come in here with thanksgiving in your heart? We're going to the worship time. Sunday, we got to go. It'll only be an hour, and we're out of there, if he doesn't talk too long. But do we come in with thanksgiving? Do we come in with praise in our hearts? We get to go and worship together today. It doesn't matter whether you have a glorious tabernacle to worship in or you're worshiping in a tent somewhere. It's the attitude of the people, and it's who you're coming to thank and to worship. David says in Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, he says, come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout? Oh, we can't shout. That's undignified. We can't shout to the Lord. Why not? They did. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. But if you're going to shout, start off soft, because you might shock somebody, scare somebody. You know, when you get joyful and you get ready to express your praise and your worship. We read the other one in Psalm 100 in our scripture reading in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When we come here into this place of worship, we ought to come with thanksgiving in our hearts and thankful for that. And thank people. Somebody thank me this morning. Be thankful. I'm thankful that you're here. It's good to see you. It's good to have you here. And we need to be showing that gratitude. Israel's gratitude and thanksgiving was always motivated by faith. Israel thanked God because he remained faithful to his covenant. Aren't you glad he's faithful to his covenant? Because if he wasn't faithful to his covenant, we'd all be in trouble. And we are all now under the new covenant, which is called the New Testament. And we're under that covenant with him. His faithfulness was shown in his protection of the nation and over each person from their enemies. He does the same today, and it should cause us to be thankful. Well, then you say, why do we see so many bad things happening? Well, are we doing his will as a nation? Are we doing his will even as churches today in our country? Or are we just kind of skirting the main issues and burying the things that are important because it's not too popular? Are we hiding those things that we should be boldly saying, know what? The Bible says, God says, and that's what matters, not what people think. Because people aren't always going to think, you know, like, oh, that was so exciting to hear that if we don't change, God's going to deal with us, that God has a plan for our lives, that God's going to deal with sin, that God's going to deal with these things, that God has plans. You know, people sometimes don't want to just tell us we're good folks and we're doing all right and send us on our way and we'll be happy for the week. I can't do that. And you shouldn't want that, ever. You should want to know God's truth. You should want to know what he wants. You should want to know how he wants to change you, how he wants to work in your life, and how he wants to make you better for him. And part of it starts off with learning to be thankful, because it builds our faith. Thankful for who he is. Thankful for what he wants to do. Israel was always grateful and thankful for the mighty works of God, his righteousness, his faithfulness to his covenant with them. In the New Testament, this attitude of thanksgiving differs very little from the Old Testament. We see many cases and many causes for thanksgiving in our lives. And in the New Testament, Jesus sets the example for us. He gave thanks, and he blessed his food. And by blessing the food and by thanking God for the food, he was able to feed thousands with it. You know, in Luke chapter 17, in verses 15 and 16, it says, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, there's a bunch of people there that had leprosy. Leprosy is that skin disease that was very contagious. You had leprosy, you were an outcast, you were outside. Don't come in town, don't come near any people. If people began to come near you, you had to holler out, unclean, and they would stay away from you because they didn't want anything to do with it. Jesus healed 10 of them. Healed 10 of them. And so in verse 15, it says, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. He was the despised one. He was the outcast. He was the neglected one. He was the one that people stayed away. Whoa, Samaritan, you're a Samaritan? Oh, we don't want anything to do with you. Prejudiced against. And so he gave thanks. And they pointed, Luke pointed out, this was a Samaritan who did that. They thanked him for who he was. They thanked him for what he did with his power in their lives. And they were grateful, and it expanded their faith. What about us? When's the last time you're just truly thankful for God, for what he's done for you, what he's doing for you? Again, it may not be what we wanted. May not be the way he answered our prayer the way we wanted, but it was the best way because we asked for his will to be done. In Romans chapter 8, or chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. He wanted to make sure. He says, I'm thanking you. Your faith is being talked about. Your impact is being heard. Your impact is making a difference. And then down in verses 16 and 17, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So Paul thanked God for strength, strength to proclaim the gospel, strength to share the good news. Thanked him for spiritual gifts that he's given you, as well as Paul. You'll have spiritual gifts if you're a Christian. For physical sustenance, earthly joys, for the spread of the faith, for the love and the faith of the brethren, for guidance. He was thankful. These were not just some religious prayers or something that they were written down and they recited. They came from the heart. They came from deep down inside because of the gratitude. They were heartfelt thanksgivings poured out to God for that which God, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, was accomplishing in the early church. So the New Testament writers urged their fellow Christians always and also be grateful, be thankful, express your thanks to the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul says, coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. Instead of wasting your time on all other nonsense, give thanks to the Lord. And again, he expresses that idea in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 15. Colossians 3:15, he mentions, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Be thankful. And so we get the message, we get the point that we're to be thankful people. Thanksgiving must spring from a heart that's been touched by God. It needs to leap out of us because God's touched our heart. That thanksgiving needs to be seen in such a way. It needs to be there. Thanksgiving is so important, so critical to our lives. All the things mentioned that caused thanks in the New Testament above are reasons for us to be thankful, not just Thursday, but every day of our lives. Really, Paul sums it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, he says this, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Who's that? Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You see, thanks in the New Testament forms simply another call to faith, a call to recognize all that God has done, to receive the benefits of his actions, to nurture each benefit in our soul, and to witness these things to the world around us. It's not just to hold in, it's to share. It's to tell others about. It's to express that so others can know, so that others can ask us, "Why are you so thankful? I know what you're going through, and it's got to be tough, and yet you're thankful. Why?" Open door for us to share, and we can let them know what Jesus has done for us. You see, only where gratitude was present was there true faith. Gratitude comes where there's true faith, and faith comes where there's true gratitude. They go hand in hand. Thanksgiving is the only faithful response possible to God's gift to us in Christ. It's the only thing possible. The only thing that we are able to give or should give is that because of who he is and what he's done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, Paul again writes this, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Could it be that a lot of times we don't have victory in our lives because we're not thankful? Could it be that there's times that he doesn't answer our prayers the way we want because we're not thankful? Could it be that things aren't changing in our life or in our family or in our relationships because we're not thankful? It very simply says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He gives us the victory through him. So the ability to give thanks comes from the power of Christ in us. He gives us the victory in every situation. And from what we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for us." We know that it's his will for each of us to be thankful all the time. Gratitude and thanksgiving lay at the heart of biblical faith because it formed the only proper response to that which happened in history, namely God's salvation and plan for our lives. You see, why this is such an important and vital exercise for us to practice daily, moment by moment in our lives, because of who he is and what he's done. You see, we owe everything to God, everything. And when we understand his nature, when we understand his character and love towards us, we should be able to do nothing else but to enjoy, offer up constant thanksgiving to him. And again, I mentioned this, it's not automatic. You need to train yourself, you need to practice it, and you need to make that a part of your life so that your faith can grow by giving thanks always. Even in the midst of every situation, every crisis, every trial, every problem that we might find ourselves in, be thankful. It'll be amazing how your attitude will change in the middle of these things when we learn to give thanks and we show our gratitude and express our gratitude to our wonderful Heavenly Father for who he is. I trust that you'll commit yourself to this exercise daily of thanksgiving, not just this Thursday, but every day. And what fantastic results await you and me when we decide to do that. And you'll be amazed at what he can do and what he'll do in your heart and in your life. Let's stand as we sing our closing hymn this morning.